Ladies and gentlemen, it is hockey night in New York. Welcome to the program, everyone. It is Monday, January 21st, 2019. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the do-over show here at Hockey Night in New York. There was some kind of debacle that went on last night, but for some reason the show cut out after about 9 minutes and 40 seconds. So a friend of mine decided to join me tonight to help out with the do-over show. You might remember his name. His name is Tony Stabile. My name is Sean Cuthbert. Tony, how are you? And how was the show last night?
Show was awesome. Is there anybody funnier than Sebastian Maniscalco at this point?
Yes,
and
I'm more of a Bill Burr guy myself.
All right, well, that's nice. But I'll tell you that the show is phenomenal. No, it's all right. It's all good. Everyone's got their own taste. But show was fantastic. MSG was packed. Just great show, man. It was awesome.
Excellent.
Sold out 4 shows in 2 days. At MSG, it's amazing. So
that's impressive.
It was great time, and he puts on a really good show.
Well, Tony, it's nice to have you here for the do-over show.
It's nice to be here.
You know, I'd say you were missed last night, but I mean, not really.
Only for 9 minutes and 40 seconds. Apparently.
Well, right, exactly. You know, I guess this is what happens when you're not there. So I guess this is something we have to try to avoid.
I have a good juju.
I still don't know why it happened, and I apologize to the listeners who tried to tune in and only got that 9 minutes and 40. I hope it was the best 9 minutes and 40 seconds of your life.
I do too.
But, here's the best part about it, Tony. You know what that means? It means for the next 35 minutes, I was talking to myself.
Well,
granted,
happens a lot anyway.
That's true. I do have a habit of doing that. Yeah. However, I thought I was talking to whoever might have been tuning in at the
might
time.
Might be listening.
Because I had no indication on the screen, audibly nothing, showing me that the show cut out.
Yeah.
All I knew is that I couldn't get Christian on the horn. And that sucked. And here I was apologizing to him, apologizing to the listeners. There was nobody there to hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to myself for another 35 minutes for nothing.
It happened,
for nothing,
buddy.
So
but
it was,
you know
it was
what?
Really therapeutic 35 minutes for me.
We move on, and now here we are. We get to do
and
a show together, which
together,
we didn't think we were going to do this week.
Back together
which is
again.
Great. And if I told you on July 2nd that the show leading into the All-Star break, we'd be playing Dancing on the Ceiling, I think you'd think I would need to be committed because no one would have expected that.
You might be right. I mean, it is a great tune. You know, it's a great tune, but we have great reason to be listening to it. And another reason to be dancing on the ceiling is because Christian Arnold was so gracious to agree to join us again tonight. So hopefully when we try to make that connection at 8:15, we actually will.
It'd be a good thing if we can actually get him on the phone.
So tonight. Welcome to the reboot show. Happy you guys. Glad you guys are tuning in. Really appreciate it. The Islanders got one more game before this 9-day break that I had started talking about last night before I was rudely cut off by Blog Talk Radio. So let's get into all the good stuff. The reasons why we are dancing on the ceiling, Tony, is because the New York Islanders are in first place in the Metro. They are second place overall in the Eastern Conference. Let it all sink in. They got a nice little 3-point cushion on the the Caps and the Blue Jackets. They got an 8-point cushion on the Sabres, who are currently in ninth place. So, folks, we're not even thinking about the playoffs anymore. We're thinking about positioning. We're thinking about home ice. We're thinking about a banner being raised up into the Barclays Center and the Nassau Coliseum rafters.
And apparently because
apparently
for some writers, we're thinking about the trading deadline too, because there's been some stories.
Another topic
Brooks.
I covered on my own last night.
Oh, it was? Oh, that's wonderful.
I talked all about it.
Oh, that's good.
I talked to the four walls in this room all about it.
So we can four spectacular cover walls too, my name.
Thank
but,
you so much.
But I'll be honest with you. It's a little surreal reading a Larry Brooks article being complimentary to the Islanders and to Lou Lamoriello, and and actually reporting that it's heading in the right direction. So you got to be. I don't even know how to feel about that.
No, I hear
I really
you.
Don't.
And for anybody who might have actually checked out that under 10 minutes last night, forgive me if I happen to be repeating myself at all.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
But I mean, the beautiful thing about this streak that they're going on, the 15 wins in 18, the five-game winning streak that they're on, is it's a little more recently, but the team, they're putting on a clinic here. They are dismantling teams.
Yep.
They're dismantling their offense. They're not giving them anything. You look at this is the first time in the team's history, I believe, or at least in a very long time, that they held the opponent to under 20 shots three games in a row.
Yeah, I don't like to remember when the last time they gave up three goals in a game. I mean, it's been a while since even that happened, I believe.
I believe you're correct, but I mean, it's just that's what I think is what makes this so promising and exciting. Look, you go back to, I guess, what, the 14-15 team, right? That team, you know, started off pretty well, and they carried it more or less throughout the course of the season. And we had similar conversations. We were talking about a potential division win. You know, I think they had the division lead as late as March 10th. I believe Eric Hornick had put that out there. So, you know, we have had conversations like this before. However, that team was all offense. That team was all
possession. And they were kind of all over the map, too, because it was kind of up and down, if I remember correctly. They got off to a really good start. And
they hit some rough patches.
And look, every team hit rough patches.
And that's why they dipped down to the 3 seed eventually in the Metro.
But by the middle of November till now, I mean, this team has been pretty consistent on a night-in and night-out basis.
And the beauty of it is they've been getting more and more consistent as time goes on.
Yes.
I mean, they're playing their absolute best hockey right now.
Yes. And, you know, it's following the textbook of a new coach instilling a new philosophy and a new culture. I know we've said that word 1,000 times this season, but really, you know, when Barry took over Washington, he said it took like 25 or 30 games before the team really kind of caught on. And that coincides pretty much exactly when the Islanders started on this streak, because what they're in game heading into game what 49 tomorrow night, so
yes,
and they're won 15 of 18, so that
yes
would be around game 31 this streak took effect,
mm-hmm,
and that's really what it is. But you see, this is the thing that, and I was talking to a buddy of mine today, and he said, you know, he says, when you know that you're playing at your best when you're starting to get your offense, when your top lines are not scoring, and now you're getting offense from your Cal Clutterbucks and your Matt Martins and your Leo Komarovs and whatnot, and that's exactly what we saw just yesterday. I mean, yeah, Clutterbuck has got four goals in the last couple of games, and
right,
so you're getting offense now from all four of your lines.
And yes, this is another thing I said in my self-help session last night, was that, you know, you look at the quote that let Lou Lamoriello, you know, the Andrew Gross was quoting at the beginning of the season. We had talked about it on the show after his hiring and all that, is the whole orchestra
mm-hmm
thing, right? And that everybody, you know, has a role. Everybody's going to play a different instrument, and you either buy into that or, you know, you can go play in somebody else's orchestra, right?
Right.
And I think that is such a beautiful metaphor for how this team is performing now, in the sense that everybody is playing within their abilities. They're doing their jobs. You go up and down the line of first through fourth line. You look at the defensive pairings, the goaltending. Everybody's pulling their weight. And every now and then, you got a guy pulling a little solo every now and then,
yeah,
like Cal Clutterbuck, like Robin Leonard.
Robin Leonard's really going off
and just stealing the guitar and hopping out in the middle of the stage with the spotlight and
terminology,
you know, wailing. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. They have. I challenge you to look at this roster, you know, and over the last 18 to 20 games, and tell me a guy on this team that's been playing that's not playing up to their potential or above their potential or what you even thought it would be. Every guy on this team, down to Michael Del Cole. I mean, Michael Del Cole is now gone from leading the Bridgeport Sound Tigers in goals scored to playing on a line with Leo Komarov and Valtteri Filppula, and he looks great. You know, he's playing. He's involved, and he looks like an NHL player. And it's a beautiful thing to see. The fourth line, you don't have to even worry about.
And he finally got his first goal against the Devils
the
other night.
He did, which was a
nice,
great thing.
Very
beautiful
nice tip.
Very beautiful
off of
tip.
None other than Scotty Mayfield,
right,
guy who
another
we've
guy
been
is
singing his praises, getting
can't
the puck
stop
in the net.
Can't stop singing his praises.
Right. No, he looks great, and he looks great next to Taves. And it's amazing. Like, it's just win by committee right now. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing I mentioned to myself last night was, and maybe I'm kind of going out into left field. I don't think I am. But this team kind of reminds me, and granted, it was a different era. I mean, you're talking 25 years ago. But this team is starting to make me hearken back to the 1993 New York Islanders. And the similarities that I have there mm-hmm. is that you have one star in Matty Barzal, and then you have all these good, solid supplemental pieces, right? You got your Anders Lees, your Brock Nelsons, your Josh Bailey's and whomever, and you can compare them to whoever, your Derek Kings, your Benoit Hogues, your Ray Ferraros,
right.
and whatnot.
Right.
But you have this one guy, clear star on the team. Everybody
yeah, Barzal is your Turgeon,
solid,
obviously.
Right, exactly. You have this, you know, solid committee of defense and everything. But the real key to that team, which is the real key to this team, is the guy behind the bench.
No question.
And you see what Al Arbor did with that team. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that the New York Islanders, the 2018-2019 Islanders, are going to go to the conference finals this year. But I sure as hell believe that they can. And
I believe they can. I believe they can, too.
It starts
Absolutely.
With Barry Trotz and that coaching staff. And mm-hmm. I think everybody who might still be a little on the fence, they're not sure, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. Look, we are almost 50 games into this season. And as I said earlier, as we started the program, this team's playing its best hockey now. It's only getting better. Now, I'm sure that there will come a time before we hit game 82 that they're going to hit a rough patch. It would be absolutely ridiculous if they did not.
Right.
They're going to suffer a couple of losses here. It's going to happen. No question about it. But I believe enough in this team where they're not just going to tread water from here on out. They're going to build on what they have. Who knows if they end up with home ice? Who knows if they end up with a division lead? But I think this is a team now you have to look at as a playoff contender and beyond, and I think it's perfectly reasonable for people like Larry Brooks and whomever else in the media and anybody around Islander country right now to be talking about being big-time buyers at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that further at length, and we'll talk about it with Christian. But right now, Tony, because he's hopping on in a couple minutes, we've got to take a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break.
So, folks, once again, sorry about the mishap last night. Really appreciate you giving us another chance here tonight for the makeup show. Thanks for tuning to Hockey Night in New York. Check us out live or for the archives at HockeyNightNY.com. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, fingers crossed, Christian Arnold will be with us.
If you're interested in exposing your business on an exciting new platform to a great audience of potential new customers or clients, then advertise right here on the Hockey Active Radio Network. Reach thousands of listeners every week on our entire radio, social, and online network. Competitive, affordable sponsorships are available now. Contact sales at HockeyActive.com. That's sales at HockeyActive.com. Introduce your business or services to the coolest fans in the world. In need of solid online solutions for your business or service? Then contact Island Web Media today for all your hosting, branding, web design, social, and multimedia needs. With over 15 years of experience in the industry and on top of all the latest trends and platforms, you will get the answers that you need. Island Web Media is an American company based in Long Island, New York. Go to islandwebmedia.com today. That's islandwebmedia.com. The Hockey Active Radio Network is powered by Hockey Active LLC in Long Island, New York. Hockey Active is always looking for good people to join us as we expand our audience reach and network services. If you have digital, video, social media, and sales skills, go to HockeyActive.com today. Call or send us an email and see how you can get involved with an exciting new company covering the coolest game on earth. Once again, that's HockeyActive.com.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Hockey Night in New York with Sean Cuthbert and Tony Stabile. Joining us right now for the do-over edition of last night's show. And a big apology to this man for setting aside time to spend time last night and didn't work out. And here he is again, Mr. Christian Arnold. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. How are you, pal?
I'm doing well, Sean. How's everything on your end?
Everything's okay now. Everything's better now that I'm actually talking to other people and not myself for 35 minutes, which ended up happening last night after the show cut out. So nice to have you on.
I feel
on.
Like
nice
you're
to
supposed
have you,
to see a therapist if that's the case. 35 minutes talking to yourself. I feel like there's a trip to a psychiatrist in order.
Well, you know what, Chris? You know, times are tough. You know, the money's tight.
Listen,
so
it's already a step further from last night.
It's
you
either,
guys are talking to each other.
It's either talk to the inanimate objects in the studio here, or you know, just you know, get on by without it. So I guess you know, 35 minutes on my own last night. You know, maybe that helped out a little bit. We'll see. We'll see. But Chris, you're here now. Let's talk about the party that's going on right now in Island of Country. Everything is awesome. We love it. They're first place in the Metro, and they're playing great hockey. They put on a clinic yesterday against the Ducks. Let's start off by talking about that. Big 3-0 victory. Big shutout for Robin Lehner. Talk about what you saw. I know you were in the building and how they performed on yesterday.
Yeah, it was another outstanding performance by an Islander team that's really, I think exceeded everyone's expectations. It was another clinic last night. I mean, there was never a point in that game that felt like the Islanders were going to lose or that the Ducks had any sort of momentum going. The Islanders with a quick couple goals in the first period, and that was real. If the Islanders didn't score the rest of the way, if Komarov didn't have that weird fluky second period goal where he redirected, even if those two Cal Clutterbuck goals were the only things the Islanders scored that day, that was all they were going to need, even if you just scored once. That was a team where the Islanders dominated most of that 60-minute game. There was never really a pushback from the Ducks. The first 20 minutes were an absolute clinic by the Islanders. The pace of play was totally in their control. The puck was almost felt like it was entirely in the Ducks zone for all 20 minutes. I think the Ducks finished with maybe 5 or 6 shots in the first period and maybe felt like they had really one or two of those 5 that really seemed like they were anything. So Robin Lehner played another outstanding performance. The Islanders really clamped down. There was never any, like I said, there was never any doubt that the Islanders going to win that game. So another outstanding performance by the Islanders.
Yeah, no question, Chris. And, you know, just to further that, Tony and I were talking about a little bit before you came on, is that it's not just yesterday against the Ducks. I mean, you can go back now a decent amount of games here, probably throughout this whole 5-game winning streak, and a good portion of this 15 out of 18 that they've won. And they're just playing clamped down, you know, hockey against these teams where they're really not giving up much. You look at the last 3 games, like we said, under 20 shots on goal against the Caps, against the Devils, against the Ducks. And it gives fans, I think, a reason to believe to set the bar higher here. And one note that I want to make is that, you know, when they're playing teams like the Devils and the Ducks, and I think in years past, even when they played up to teams like the Caps and the Toronto Maple Leafs and stuff like that, and they'd get a win, they'd scratch out a win, whatever the case may be, when they had a team whatever the weak team was at the time coming into play, they would play down to those teams. And these would be games that they were expected to win, where that they'd be giving up and they'd just be throwing points away. And it's such a breath of fresh air to see them playing teams like the Ducks and the Devils that are struggling now, and they're just taking care of business. What do you have to say about that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's such a crucial part of being a successful team in this league. Obviously, the Islanders have, in years past, have gotten up for those big games. You know, the Capitals, the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, if they're good, the Penguins, teams like that. But you're right. You're absolutely right. The Islanders have historically played down to lesser opponents when they were the better team. And this was this season, like you mentioned, during this 18-game run here, the Islanders have easily, I might add, that they should beat the teams like the New Jersey Devils, teams like Anaheim. There was never really any question that those games were going to be losses. Those games, there was an expectation that they were going to win, not just from the fans, but from the coaching staff and the players in that room. And you could sense that. Not to take anything away from teams of the past, but this is an Islanders team where they expect to win night in and night out, and that's an expectation from the coaching staff on down and up. And they're heeding the call. They played like that yesterday. They played like that against New Jersey. They played like that against other teams. And even, in fairness, even games that they shouldn't have won, they're finding ways to win. They stole 4 right. points from 2 games against St. Louis, and then they put absolute clinics on when it came time to play some of the best teams in the National Hockey League, like Toronto, like Washington, Tampa Bay. I mean, this is an Islanders team. I wrote about it today. They're finding every single way to win games. If they play sloppy games, they still find ways to win, find ways to steal points. If they're playing some of the best teams in the league, they're finding ways to beat those teams handedly and look like a dominant team in the process.
I agree with you, buddy, and thanks. I wanted to thank you personally for coming on once again. I know it's a little late; it's past your bedtime, and so I'm glad that wow. you were able to join us tonight. That's good. It's a school night, I know, so I don't want to Tell me,
and
how much fun?
I didn't know Brian Compton was on this this program now.
Well, listen, I was breaking your chops about being a kid long before Compton was doing it, pal.
That's right. He's so old, he's probably forgotten.
Nice.
Wow, that's good. I like that one. All right, buddy. Well, you segued perfectly into my question here, and that is, how much fun is Barry Trotz having? Because, I mean, every time he comes to the mic, you get like you just get the idea and the feeling that this is grown on him, and I think he's almost like it's almost unexpected how much fun he's having with all of this at this point. What are you getting off Barry being around a team the way that you are?
I think I've always gotten the sense when he was in Washington that he's a coach who enjoys what he does. He's a coach that, you know, enjoys working with the players that he has and, you know, kind of bringing those rooms together. And now seeing it firsthand like we have in New York, I think that and I not only believe that, but I believe that something maybe a little more unique with this group. I think Barry Trotz has certainly embraced Long Island. Even last night, after talking about the win, you know, the fans chanting his name after the game, he was, you know, very much like most NHL players and coaches and general managers tend to do. They kind of divert that from themselves to everybody. But for whatever reason, the line that stuck out to me the most from that comment was that we're all Islanders. And that's obviously kind of goes back to that kind of slogan that the team has run the last couple of years or ran a couple of years ago. And he's really seemed to embrace that. He seemed to embrace what this team means to the Long Island, New York community. He seems to embrace what the National Coliseum means to the fan base and means to this team. And, you know, he's kind of dove headfirst into it, and you're seeing it pay off. I think if you look at something comparable in a different sport, what the Nets have in Kenny Atkinson, who's a Long Island native from Northport, who's really a player's coach. He's a guy who's behind his players 100%. The Islanders kind of have a similar situation where they know Barry Trotz is behind them. They know not only that he's a guy that brings a Stanley Cup championship caliber coaching staff to the New York Islanders, but he's a guy that genuinely cares about his players. He genuinely, you know, wants to see them succeed on and off the ice. And I think that's really something that the players have embraced and why they've taken to what he's been preaching so quickly this season. Even, you know, the first couple months or so, you kind of expect somewhat of a lull or somewhat of a learning curve with the Islanders, you know, undergoing an entire new system, an entire change, you know, top to bottom in the organization. But they've really embraced what Barry Trotz has brought to the table. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand about him embracing what this team means to the Islanders, to the players who've been there their entire careers, what this team means to this community. And, you know, it's both kind of bounce off each other, and it's kind of produced this incredible season that we've had so far, where the Islanders, who unexpectedly are in first place in the Metropolitan Division, I mean, they're the, aside from maybe, you know, the Hofstra Pride, who are on like a 15-game winning streak for, as far as their men's basketball team go, they're one of the best stories in New York sports.
Oh, there's no question. Absolutely. I mean, if anyone would have told you that the story of New York sports this year was going to be the Nets and the Islanders, people would have thought you were crazy. I mean, it's just to see these two teams, you know, kind of, you know, both from Long Island, you know, both Long Island born and bred, and to be where they are now, it's amazing. And I like the comparison you drew between Kenny Atkinson and Barry Trotz. But, you know, the thing that I think, and I don't know if you saw it today, there was an article in the Canadian press in Toronto, basically. And the way the article was that by the Islanders losing John Tavares, they actually learned how to become a team. And though I didn't agree with anything that was in the article, I thought I read that headline, and I said, maybe this guy's on to something. And really, the premise of what he was trying to say was on point, whereas, you know, all the examples he gave, I didn't agree with any of them. But the point of what I'm trying to make here is that, you know, the Islanders did, you know, Barry has kind of been tapping into this whole thing. Like, look, guys, everyone thought you guys were left for dead. You know, I came here, Luke came here, we're going to do what we're going to do here. But your best player decided that he was going to leave, and then the rest of the NHL decided that you guys aren't good enough, and he was the whole team. You need to go out there and show everybody that you are a team and that you can play as a team and that you're just as good as you are or better than when he was here. And the Islanders pretty much have done that. You know, they've had a coach that's come in that's not relied on one particular player. And Barry could have come in and did the same thing with Barzal, and you know, after the season he had last year, but he instilled his you know, the way he wanted to play, his playbook. And these guys have bought in, and they literally have learned to become and play as a unit. And then this is the unit that I think that they were all hoping that it would happen, and it just happened to it happens to be that Tavares isn't there. But in summation, and what I'm actually asking you here, and what I'm actually going to ask you here is that now that Tavares is gone and seeing the way that this team is, you know, is it almost you know, a positive thing that this team has been able to come together without him and using his leaving as you know, as that rallying point for this coaching staff that's come in and for the team that's already that was already here?
I think to Barry Trotz's credit, I think he has the ability to kind of tap into a team psyche and figure out, all right, what's the right buttons to push that's going to make this team better. If John Tavares was here, I think the storyline outside of Long Island and New York would have been, you know, he's wasting his talent staying on Long Island and that this team is still a couple years away. And I think that would have been kind of his rallying cry if Tavares had decided to stay, that, hey, Johnny is, you know, invested in this locker room and he wants to win and we want to win for him. So let's go out and do that. I think it kind of would have been the same thing. I think it's an interesting question, though, to ask what, are the Islanders better off that Tavares left or that they didn't or that he stayed? It's an interesting question to ponder because where would the Islanders be right now if John Tavares was still on this roster? Would they be in first place? Would this be a team that was still kind of middle of the road, maybe fighting on the playoff bubble? It's an interesting question. I think the Islanders have definitely used that, the fact that John left and that everyone kind of left, you know, thought they were left for dead essentially. And that really nobody, I mean, there are people who I'm sure will say on Twitter, oh, I knew this team was going to be something this year, and they are just full of it. Absolutely. There is no one on this face of the earth who thought the New York Islanders were going to be this good this season. No doubt. I, you know, myself included, I didn't think that this team would be make this much noise. And in fact, to be honest, I didn't think they were going to be even in the playoff hunt for much of the season. So, I mean, they've, like I said, they've gone beyond everyone's wildest dreams and expectations. But do I think that the Islanders were better off or not better off with Tavares leaving? It's hard to say. I think it's hard to argue that using your best player would makes the team better in the long run. I think if John Tavares was here, maybe, you know, the team is a little bit better. Maybe the, you know, the power play maybe is a little bit better. But I mean, you know, we can kind of play the guessing game, and it's an interesting question to ponder because it's such a unique situation that the Islanders find themselves in. You know, they lose their star player, their captain, the face of the franchise. And, you know, the next year they go on and they're one of the best teams in hockey and one of the best stories in the NHL world.
Yeah, no question, Chris. And it's a very interesting question to ponder, and it's just going to be one of those what ifs that's never answered. But at the end of the day, the main thing is that the New York Islanders and Barry Trotz are making it real easy to forget about this guy. This could have been, you know, a much longer bleeding out if they were struggling this year. If it gave everybody and their mother in the press and even in the fandom a reason to say, you know, look what's happening. He's gone. He was the lifeblood of the team. Now they're lost. It's going to take however long for them to get back in the mix. The fact that they're playing the way they're playing without him now, I think, is just a it's hard to put into words, but it's great for everybody, the team, the fans, and it's just helping everybody forget about him. And the truth really is it looks like they don't need him. Yeah, sure. You might like him. Yeah, who's gonna turn down a franchise player like that in your team?
Right.
Right? Of course not. But
right.
At this moment in time, they don't need him. But leading into my next question for you, Christian, speaking of perhaps having a guy of his caliber on the team, with the way they are playing and with the media talking about this now, is it reasonable for the Islanders to go in full steam ahead at the trade deadline right here and look like some serious buyers to supplement what they're already doing?
I think it's something we talked about last time I was on with you, Sean, and I think I said something to the effect of it was going to depend on where the Islanders are in the standings. Well, where they are is they're first, and they still could use some help. I still kind of stand by what I said earlier in the year that they still kind of need a top six forward. You know, maybe Lou goes out and gets a depth defenseman, but kind of to that point, the Islanders have a decent depth defenseman already. Thomas Hickey, whenever he comes back from injury, is a solid player to come off the bench, and you know, you kind of know what you're getting. So Right. Historically, I think if you look back, Lou has kind of always gone and gotten some depth guys and kind of filled that hole, but it feels like that wouldn't be necessary at this point for the Islanders. I think I know Larry Brooks wrote on Sunday about, you know, Lou seemingly trying to go for it here because, you know, this is a team that, or he's a guy who generally doesn't, you know, value prospects to the extent that, you know, previous management or other, you know, hockey people might, and he might go after and try and get, make a deal for a win now move. But again, kind of going back to thinking they need a top six forward, it's who do you go after? I mean, do you go after Matthew Shane? But what's the worst of Matthew Shane? Is it worth losing one of the offensive prospects that the Islanders have in the pool? Is it worth potentially trading away a Josh Hosang who, you know, has kind of had an interesting relationship with the Islanders' new management? Is it worth losing guys who could be make the Islanders a good team in the longer term instead of going for the short term? I think with Lou Lamoriello here, it's a little tough to kind of know what's going to happen because the Islanders – under Garth Snow, you kind of knew maybe they'd make a small depth move, but they're never really going to go for anything. Lou Lamoriello now is kind of a question mark. And is this a win now, Lou Lamoriello? Is this a Lou Lamoriello who wants to make this team better for the long run? I think that's the question you kind of have to ask yourself as you're going into the trade deadline, because is it worth bringing in a Matthew Shane for the Islanders to go to the second round, potentially maybe make it to a conference final? I mean, it's crazy to even mention that, but you know, potentially
it's
make
not
it
really
the third
crazy
round,
anymore, buddy.
That's right, but is it worth it now for that for you know short term success, with possibly losing out a player that can help you out in the long term, especially with, you know, a new arena potentially opening up a couple years, trying to be competitive once that building opens up so that you can fill, you know, 17,000-18,000 venue in Belmont. I think that's kind of the question you have to ask yourself right now: is the short term success of the Islanders worth trading away a guy who could potentially help them in the long term?
Absolutely. I know, but I mean, I think also you have to consider the fact that Lou is also not going to be, you know, like Garth was, and, you know, not, I think it's going to be easier for Lou to lure free agents here, especially with Barry, especially with the new building. I think that's going to be a much easier sell.
Not to cut you off there, Tony, I still think it's a tough sell. I mean, if you're not from Long Island, or if you're not someone who's played on this roster, you know, like an Anders Lee or even a John Tavares or someone like that, and you never really played in Nassau Coliseum, I mean, the guy, I don't think players outside of the organization have the same view of this kind of dual citizenship that the Islanders have. They don't view it the same as some of the guys who are used to it now. I think, I forget who it was. I think it was Nicholas Cronwall. Not Nicholas. It was one of the Penguins players. I'm sorry. I can't think of who it was off the top of my head. But, you know, they preferred Barclays Center because they preferred the glitz and the glamour of playing closer to Manhattan and closer to New York City. You know, and there was more to do around Barclays Center. And I think if you're a potential free agent, you kind of look at that and you go, if you're coming from another big city or something like that, you kind of go, why do I want to subject myself to kind of this weird circumstance where I'm splitting my home games, where you never really – have like a true sense of where your home is going to be, and not to kind of rain on the parade of Belmont, but there's still some red tape that needs to be crossed. There's still some, you know, I's that need to be dotted and T's that need to be crossed. So, you know, as much as I think Belmont is probably the most forward movement the Islanders have ever had as far as a new arena, I still, until the shovel's in the ground, it's hard to say it's a done deal. And for a free agent, it's hard to really explain to them what the situation is for them to fully understand. Cause you're talking, not only do you have to convince them that, hey, playing two more years of the split schedule where you're in two different arenas is worth it, but there's a new arena down the horizon, but there's still X, Y, and Z that needs to be crossed. It's a little hard to sell when you're trying to explain, you know, state and county politics to them.
Yeah, I get it. No, absolutely. I get it. I'm still not convinced that they're not going to play all the games at the Coliseum next year, but I guess we'll see that as, I guess we'll see what happens with that at the end of the season. And, you know, it's going to be hard sell for them not to look at Barclays at 8,000 or 9,000 per night and then, you know, the Coliseum being full. So I don't know. Well, I guess we'll have to see. But and it was Chris Letang, by the way, the one that said that he'd rather play it in Barclays because it was closer to the city. But last question, I really appreciate all the time that you gave us tonight. But last question, you're the GM going into the deadline. You're Lou Lamoriello. Do you go for a Braden Schenn, a Matt Duchene, Mark Stone, all one of these guys who are available. Do you go and trade an asset for one of these guys because you think that you can get to the conference finals or maybe to the Stanley Cup final? Do you make that move?
That's a full GM mode, I guess. Yeah, I go for it. Granted, it's going to depend on who some of those players in return go, but I mean, a Matt Duchene comes in here, or a Mark Stone, or any one of those guys you just mentioned that comes in here, I think that pushes the Islanders over the edge to being a really competitive team that can make some loud noise in the postseason. I don't know if I'll go as far as saying that they'll make it to a Stanley Cup final, but I think with one of those guys on the roster, I don't think conference final is out of the question. So if I'm Lamoureux, yeah, I say I'd go for it.
Well, Chris, whether you're right or wrong, whether you're close or not, I think it's just music to everybody's ears, the fact that we're even able to have this conversation January 21st into this season. So that's awesome stuff. And Chris, again, sorry about last night. Really appreciate you joining us tonight. Great stuff as always, and looking forward to having you on down the road.
Not a problem, guys. Tony and Sean, great talking to you. Sean, I'm glad you're not talking to yourself for another 35 minutes.
I appreciate that. I might later. We'll see. All right, Chris, take care.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Christian Arnold, the managing editor over at Islanders Insight. You can follow him at C_Arnold01. Great follow, great coverage of the Islanders. He's been doing it for a long time now.
Long time.
It's been solid, solid stuff. And, you know, ever since he was a little boy, right, Tony? That's what you were trying to say before?
Sorry, Chris.
That was out of line. I apologize.
I met Chris right out of school. He was right out of school, and he has, I'll tell you, he has grown into this role. He does such a great job.
No, he
asks great questions, and I mean, you know, Brian teases him. I've been teasing him for years, you know, about being the young guy and whatnot. Especially, I'm in my 40s, so he's definitely a young guy, but. You know, he's a great guy. He really is. He does a good job, and, you know, he knows the game, and he's been around it, and, you know, good for him. You know, he does a great job at Islanders Insight, and, you know, he gave us a good spot there.
Absolutely. No question about it. And let's continue with the content of that conversation.
You want to talk about the trade deadline.
I do, Tony.
You are itching to talk about the trade deadline.
I am, because you know what? It's time, pal.
It is time.
It's time.
It is time.
I'm telling you, it's time.
And I'm going to tell you, because when we did the pajama night party.
We've been talking about the deadline now for the last few shows.
Well, we have to, because every week
exactly.
It changes.
Exactly.
But you see, this is the thing. We had a conversation at Offside about this, and I said to you that I was not willing to trade prospects for rentals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that in the 29 days or 28 days since that night.
Has it been that long already?
Well, it was the 29th, and we're on the 21st, so what is it? It's got to be like 25 days. 25 days.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. So I'll tell you that I can tell you flat out that I have flipped my script.
Wow.
This team is, in my opinion, a player away from being, as Christian said, very dangerous to play in the playoffs. And a Matt Duchene or I would prefer Braden Schenn. Not that I don't like Matt Duchene.
You're all aboard the Schenn train.
Because he's assigned for another year. You know, you have him for this year and for next. So you're going to probably have to give up a little more for Schenn than you would have to give up for Duchene. But, I mean, you'd have him for another season. And I think that he fits exactly what Barry is looking for.
He might. He might,
he
but let's have a discussion.
Let's
this
talk.
Is good. This
let's
is
talk.
This is somewhere where we can disagree, because mm-hmm. I think we might agree a little too much on this show sometimes. It was good with that whole Letty talk when you and Andy were being stupid about that. So it was nice to have that back and forth.
Okay.
So let's talk about these potential, you know, guys to be had here at the trade deadline. And I'm glad to hear you and Christian, you know, loosen up a little bit with this whole potential to add.
Mm-hmm.
And now, look. I would prefer a guy with term, and I know if you get a guy with term, you're adding more to the pot, you're giving more away. I completely understand that. But because of the way they have performed since the Offside show, I think it's completely reasonable to be confident in this team and the way that they're playing. Because here's the other thing about the way that they're winning these games and the way that they're playing hockey right now. They're playing playoff hockey. This
mm-hmm.
is this game that they're playing right now, this shutdown defensive, no shots for you hockey that they're playing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
That's how you got to play in the playoffs.
I know.
You know, it's a low scoring affair. Every goal, every play, every call is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're already playing that kind of hockey now before they even get into April is huge. And if you can add a piece that can hopefully, as seamlessly as possible, jump into this lineup,
yeah,
fit the system, and make this team even more dangerous. Because they're dangerous already, as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed.
The way that, now look, we all know that the playoffs are a different animal. And you can look at the games against Toronto, against Washington, against Tampa Bay. And while they're great, while they show a lot for this team, when you get to the dance, you throw them out the window.
Agreed.
The regular season matchups do not matter. It matters what you do in the playoffs.
Right.
But again, I'll repeat myself and say this team is playing playoff hockey now.
They have been.
Which bodes well for them when they match up against these teams down the road.
Right.
Now, those teams are obviously going to, you know, show up for business too when it comes to the playoffs. But you play this way, I gotta stay on the same line of thinking that I've had even when we started having these conversations about the trade deadline. As far as I'm concerned, you look at the system, you look at the structure that they have. I think all they're really missing. Now, granted, we'd all love a top pairing defenseman. We'd all love, you know, this guy, that guy. But if you want to be a little more reasonable, a little more realistic as far as what this team can do, I think you leave the defense alone. I think that's fine. You don't need to add there. I really don't. Christian makes a good point that they already have a depth defenseman waiting in the wings if they need him should injuries come. Look, nobody's saying Thomas Hickey is going to be a savior if he does end up in the lineup. But at least if there are some injuries, the guy can help out. Mm-hmm. So I say leave the defense the way it is.
Right.
Don't even worry about a guy like Pietrangelo. I know we talked about him at the tavern.
Well, yeah, but again, that's before Devon Taves have come in and
really showed
taken
us
over.
What he can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, don't need Pietrangelo. Don't need defense as far as I'm concerned. What I'm looking at is in the top six, like Christian said, like you're kind of getting at with Braden Schenn, but I got to stick with a guy like Tarasenko. Now, whether it's him or not, give me a comparable, that's fine. But the one Achilles heel that still remains for this team, and it's going to be huge in the playoffs, is the power play.
Mm-hmm.
You need your special teams going. Now, the penalty kill is doing well enough. It's definitely done a lot better. I forget what the numbers are, but I know that they killed a ton of penalties in a row over these last couple games. I believe that streak is still on. I don't think they've given up a power play goal in the last couple games.
I agree.
Might have to check that.
They haven't given up a goal in the last couple games.
That is true. The last two games, they have not given up a goal.
Right.
So the penalty kill has been performing well. It's been performing better. The power play is still a rough spot. Now, I know they went 1-for-3, I believe, against the Blues. They went 1-for-3 against the Devils. So they put a couple in over this last little stretch. But, I mean, I remember watching the power play yesterday against the Ducks, and it's still not looking good.
It's not. No, it's not.
Clutterbuck had one yesterday.
Yes, he did.
And right.
Yes, he did.
And totally got away from even talking about him in the game yesterday. We're already on the deadline. Let's stick there. We'll talk about him later.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think at the end of the day, you bring in a guy who's a true trigger man for this power play because they don't have one right now. You know, every now and then Josh Bailey's put in one. Every now and then Ryan Pulock's taking a lot of shots and they don't hit the net or they hit a shin pad. It's still a problem. I feel like they just need a guy who can clean up and put the puck in the net. And I feel like a guy like Tarasenko is that kind of guy. Or Panarin, that's not happening.
Panarin is
happening until July, if at all.
Right. I mean, look, this is the thing. If you add a Schenn or a Duchesne or a Mark Stone, those guys are going to cost you less in assets, and they're going to be Tarasenko is a 35 to 30 to 40 goal scorer.
Right,
pretty
and he has
consistently.
Term on his contract. And
he does have term, but that's the reason why you're going to give up the farm to get him. I mean,
he's not a rental.
I understand.
He's a guy who's going to be able to play wingman to Matt Barzal for the next whatever it is, 3-5 years.
Yes, but you see, this is the problem I have is that you can add and both Schenn and Duchesne are power plays, are guys who play well on the power play. Stone is a guy who plays. They are power play producers, and I think that the center position obviously is a huge thing because, you know, both Schenn and Duchesne are very good faceoff men, which is, you know, that's a key. Nelson has done a better job this year in the faceoff dot. But Duchesne and Schenn are upgrades over both Barzal and, you know, it's better
as far
as faceoffs go. And they're guys who are proven commodities on the power play. And I think that both guys, both both their character and their personality, mm-hmm. and their play on the ice would fit seamlessly into Barry's system. And Tarasenko is not a 200-foot player, and it would be a little bit, or I would say more than a little bit, of an adjustment period to get him to play in within Barry's system. Whereas Shen, Stone, or Stone even might be a little bit, but Shen or Duchesne, I think, would step on the ice and they would be right at home in Barry's system.
I do agree with you there. I feel like they would be more of a seamless entry into the lineup because of the games that they play.
Mm-hmm.
Tarasenko is much more of a specialty guy, if you will.
Yes.
But I think that's a specialty that they need. Having said that, though, I'm not complaining if Lou Lamoriello pulls in a Duchesne, pulls in a Shen, or pulls in a Stone
for
the right call.
You get any of those guys.
Right.
They're all going to help.
They're going to make the top six even more dangerous, and they're going to push the rest of the depth down the lineup.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm talking to some people about this, couple buddies of mine, and they're like, yeah, you know what, maybe you can deal Eberle, get some prospects or picks for him, and then you can, you know, turn them around and send them out for a deal for one of these guys. I'm saying no.
I don't think so.
No.
I think Eberle's
hang on to Eberle for
he's
this
finally
run.
Playing at his potential at this point.
And you just let the depth flow through the lineup.
Yes.
Then
agreed.
All of a sudden, one of the guys that are in a top six role right now, they're riding shotgun with Filppula, perhaps. Or they're
right.
taking his place in the third. I mean, whatever the case may be. But make that top nine even more deep. You know, put some more danger in there.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. I mean, you put either one of those guys on that second line as that second line center, and then you could put Brock on the third, or move Brock over to the wing on the third, or move him to the wing on the second, and move Villiers down to the third. I mean, there's a combinations. You can go crazy with
exactly.
adding a player like
Make
that.
Make the team deeper than it is. They
yes.
have the cap space. They don't have to unload. And this goes to what I said when we started talking about this after Chris Kamal. It's time. It's
Agreed.
Time. We didn't know it was time until very, very, very recently.
Right.
None of us were thinking about this going in. Everybody was talking about which free agents are we going to sell. Which free agents are we going to sell? Completely reasonable. But with the way this team is playing, it's time. It's time. They got the right coach. They got the right system. And they got everybody bought in. They
right.
got the right goaltending. What better time than now?
Look
they
at
have,
Vegas last
they
year.
Have,
perfect example. It is definitely possible.
Without
Look
question.
At what Vegas did last
Without
year.
Question.
You had a hot goalie. You had a team that was completely bought into the coach, completely bought into the system.
Right.
There were no superstars on that team last year. Fleury was probably the biggest name on the team.
Right.
And you had guys that stepped up that they hadn't done before.
Right.
Marchessault and
Wild Bill
and all these other guys, they stepped up.
Right.
Solid defense with Colin Miller and, you know, everybody played well.
Ryan O'Reilly.
No, he was in Buffalo.
Oh, no, Riley Smith.
Riley
I'm
Smith.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, yes, yes.
Riley Smith. Riley was in there.
Yeah.
Riley was in
You're
there.
Good. But this is exactly the same. It's not exactly the same, but it's very, very similar to what happened in Vegas last year. You have an energized fan base. You have a team that's completely bought into their coach. Everybody's producing. They're getting guys from top to bottom that are giving them offensive production, giving them solid defensive structure. The goaltending last year, I mean, look at Malcolm. They had like 11 goalies play for Vegas last year.
Right.
They went into the freaking finals.
Right.
I mean, it is the same type of situation here. And
right.
it is definitely possible.
And it's a bit reassuring to see that same team now has found that success again
yes.
to show that last year was not a flash in the pan.
And, they went through the West, no less.
And everybody's back on the Vegas bandwagon talking about
right.
how dangerous they are.
They
in the
are
West.
Dangerous. Because now they also have some star players, no less. You have Pacioretty there. You have Paul Stastny.
Yeah.
Like you have, they've upgraded the amount of talent that
right.
they had on top of the fact that they
right.
had the players they had last year.
So you swing it back to the Isles here. They have a deep enough prospect pool.
No question.
Where they can unload some guys.
They have, if you can actually make the argument that they have too many prospects.
And still
at this
have
point.
A future.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
if Louis swings a deal for one of these big names or whomever it may be, he's still going to have assets. He's still going to have guys to feed through the pipeline going forward. It's not
mm-hmm.
going to be a cupboard clearing situation. Now there may end up being some names involved that were going to be a little cringy about losing.
Yeah, but getting
you know,
a,
once
you
start
together.
Talking about perhaps a Noah Dobson or a Wallstrom or, you know, who knows, maybe even an Ilya Sorokin at this point with the way the goaltending's turning
know.
Out.
I don't know. He's another shot.
Right. Well, we'll have that conversation later.
Right.
But But the point I'm trying to make is they're I feel like they are in prime position to make a deal to really seriously add to this team.
They are.
They don't have to play scared here. I feel like let's throw that out the window. It's big boy time. You know,
it is.
They have the right coach. I went through the lineup already. It's time.
And there's not a player who's available.
Dare to dream.
Let's put it this way. There's not a player that's available currently or that could become available that is not attainable for this team. Okay? They're between cap space, prospect pool, draft picks, whatever the case may be, they have enough to get anybody. And that goes all the way through superstar-level players because they have that much to give in order to get. So whoever becomes available, if they wanted to go out and get Tarasenko tomorrow, they have the assets to do that.
Right.
They want Ryan O'Reilly becomes available tomorrow, they have the assets to do that.
Right.
If Erik Karlsson became available tomorrow, they would have the assets to do that. They have the assets to acquire any one of these players. So it's just, are you going to love the names going back? But you're getting a name. You're getting reinforcements.
Right.
And I cannot tell you how important that is because you're looking at this team and you almost want to say they're playing so well. Do you want to tinker with it? But you know what kind of a jolt that would give to that locker room? If they brought in a Matt Duchene or a Braden Schenn or an Alex Petrangelo, like, do you have any idea? Like, these guys are going to be like, wow, Lou believes in us.
Right.
This, we got reinforcements
we're
on the
serious,
way.
Right.
We're serious. We're doing this. Like, that's a huge, huge step. And it did it for Vegas last year. Even though they didn't get Karlsson, the fact that they were as close as they were to getting him, that locker room was like, look at this.
Yeah.
They believe that we're capable of this. We're going to do this.
Right.
It is just the idea that they're involved in this stuff is a huge boost.
Without question.
Room.
And I'm not saying to Milbury this team here. I'm not saying
irresponsibly
picks and prospects away for, you know, the shiniest name that you see. Obviously, this is something you have to do responsibly, and I have faith in Lou Lamoriello to do that.
I do, too.
And at the end of the day, whatever they do or don't decide to do between now and the trade deadline, I trust in the program. I trust in what they're looking to do.
Well, brother, you could trade your first-round pick this year, okay? So you can. That's one piece that you give away you don't even have yet. Okay, they made two first-round picks last year. They made two second-round picks last year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an argument to be made that three of the picks that they made were all first-rounders because Bode Wild has definitely was in that first-round conversation, and the way he's played this year has elevated his draft stature for a guy who's a steal almost for where he's gotten into the second round to this point.
Right.
But then you have guys in Bridgeport that are playing. So you have Sorokin, who's over in the KHL. Okay, he's one of your top prospects. You have Dobson. You have Wahlstrom. You have Wild. That was just last year's draft. You have Koivula, okay, who's playing outstanding at Bridgeport.
Yeah.
That's a guy you didn't even think you had, okay? And he's playing outstanding hockey at Bridgeport.
Mm-hmm.
You have Mitchell Vanasampel, who's playing very well. Sebastian Aho is a guy we don't talk about enough.
Right.
Okay? He's a guy who's made the AHL All-Star team 2 years in a row. He's a guy who can step in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have Parker Wotherspoon is starting to get his game together. To the point where, hey, maybe he's a guy who could be an NHL defenseman. I used to do Islander prospect reports, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I used to have them 1 through 20. And when you get into the 15 to 20 range, you're kind of reaching.
Yeah.
You're at a point where you're like, is this guy going to make the NHL or whatever?
Right.
I'll tell you right now, you could fill a prospect report 1 through 20 with the amount of prospects that the Islanders have right now. And they're all solid, solid guys.
Right.
So he has more than enough to make a move for anybody that he wants to make a move for and fill any hole that he wants to.
Right. And just this team, this franchise has been, you know, waiting for next time, waiting for next year, you know, living in the future, waiting for guys to come around. Now, this is an opportunity where the Islanders and their fans can very seriously take a look at themselves and say, we can live in the now right now.
Exactly.
We can be one of those teams that we're envious of every trade deadline. Look at this contender. They go out and got this guy. They go on a run, what have you.
Right.
The Islanders have the opportunity to finally be one of those teams and be serious. Now, again, I'm not necessarily going to be let down if one of the names we just talked about aren't acquired. You know what I mean?
No, of course.
But I absolutely am on board for going that route.
Yeah.
And I figure why not, because of all the reasons that we just cited.
Absolutely.
I mean,
we're, as a fan base, we're ready for that. Okay, we're ready for management and ownership to say we believe in this squad and we're going for it. And we're going to give up an asset, we're going to pay the money, and we're going to get this guy. And I'm ready for it personally.
And
I know you're ready for it.
I am, 100%. And you have some people making the argument, well, you know, Barry Trotz, he said, you know, not too long ago in the press conference, he still thinks that the team is 1 or 2 years away. But then fast forward to the other night in Washington with his tribute video going up, and they show the picture of him and the
That's
team raising
boys.
The Stanley Cup. What does he say to the guys on the bench?
That's us,
That's
boys.
Us this year,
See
guys.
Boys. That's right.
Exactly.
You don't think he sees it? He sees it.
Absolutely.
He sees it. And that's why I said, and that's why I brought that out to Chris. I don't think even Barry expected it to get to the point that it's at.
Nobody did.
But this is Barry. Like he's looking at this roster, and this is a guy who won a Stanley Cup last year. This is the fourth winningest coach in the history of the NHL. And you're looking at a roster of players, and now 50 games in, you're telling them on the bench, that's us this year, boys?
Right.
He don't have to say that.
No. He's not saying it if he doesn't believe it.
But he's yelling it to these guys on the bench, and they're buying in.
Exactly.
There, because that happened in the third period that video was on, right? Was that the third period that they put
that I don't remember what period it was in.
But it wasn't too much farther after that Clutterbuck went up the ice and scored that goal to put them ahead against Washington.
Right.
They clamped down that game. They schooled Washington in that game. They schooled Tampa Bay last week.
They did.
And Anaheim, a team that's been struggling, okay, obviously, but they had no chance. They
right.
had no chance yesterday.
No.
None.
And when they needed to be bailed out by Lehner, by Greiss in these games, they were there. They stood tall.
But that's the point. Your goaltending now, because the team plays such a sound structural game, that your goaltending doesn't have to come up with 14 unbelievable saves in order for you to have a chance to win. They
right.
have to come up with 4 or 5.
Right.
And that's exactly what's happening now. And those guys are coming through. Greiss played a great game the other night. Robin Lehner has been outstanding.
Unreal.
Number one star in the NHL this week. He was the number three star in the NHL last week.
Correct.
His numbers, he leads the NHL in goals against average. If I'm not mistaken, he's in the top three in save percentage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who was released by the Buffalo Sabres. They didn't even offer him a contract.
And then I'm sure you saw his interview with Shannon after the game, after he got the first star, right?
I did.
I mean, chanting his name.
It
was loud. I was
out,
in there. It was loud.
And, bro, he came out clapping, your hands up.
Nah, it was
I
great.
Mean, he you is could... just – what it, this is. This guy is the feel-good story of the NHL this year.
No question.
He has just – he has embraced this team. The fan base has embraced him. And it all started before he even stepped on the ice for his first game. With that interview with The Athletic and telling everybody how, you know, what he had gone through and what
right.
he was going through mm-hmm. and what he continues to go through on a daily basis. And to see how far he's come and how he's embraced this organization, because he feels that the Islanders are part of his sobriety at this point, that they gave him the shot that he needed
right.
and have helped him to this point. And these are the little things that Lou's talking about, doing the little things right. When you have a great culture, when you do, you know, when you're professional, it's doing the little things right over and over again, every single time. That's what's happened. And Robin Lehner, as God bless him, man, it's a beautiful thing to see what's going on with this guy.
No, it's a great story. It's been absolutely, you know, beyond anybody's expectations with the way this guy has come in and just performed and embraced the team. The team's embraced him. The fans have embraced him. Everybody's on. It's just great. It's a beautiful thing. And then you can't forget about Greiss and what he's done.
Oh.
I mean, it's kind of a great situation now because Greiss has kind of always been that guy who, even if he's not given the starting role, which he really hasn't had throughout the majority of his career, you know, he's cool with it. He's like, look, you put me in when you're ready to put me in. He goes in, he does his job. I mean, look no further than the game he had the other night with the shutout, right? I mean, it seems like these two guys complement each other very well in the circumstance that the Islanders have right now with both of those guys. And with all that said, you look at the fact that Greiss has another year in his contract for next year, and a big conversation piece going into this year because of the huge question marks in net that were very apparent at that point in time, talking about Sorokin. But another name that came up big time and even throughout the season linked to somehow to the Islanders, Lou Lamoriello, is Sergei Bobrovsky.
Yep.
We've mentioned his name in these previous shows talking about all this stuff. Is anybody thinking about that guy right now?
No.
Anybody?
No. Because I'll tell you why. And
forget about that guy.
But think about it this way.
About him.
When the rumors came out, when Tavares was going through his whole thing, there was a rumor that Lamoriello told him that, I'm going to go get us a goalie. We're going to start this thing. We're going to do this right or whatever. He had to be the guy. because the Islanders have been linked to Sergei Bobrovsky for over a year now. So, I mean, this was in the conversation, you know, from the very beginning. So if he was talking about acquiring a goalie, he had to be the guy. So for the whatever reason or not, it didn't happen at the draft. It didn't happen before Tavares left. And then obviously he didn't make the move during the summer, and he ended up bringing Leonard in here. But you see the way these two guys have played. The thing with Sorokin is this. Sorokin, the KHL season ends before the NHL season ends. He has a window that he has to buy out his contract on his own. Mm-hmm. His agent was seen at Northwell the other day. Okay? So the Islanders will know. If he buys out his contract from the KHL, the Islanders don't have to sign him the same day. If he buys out his contract, the Islanders have clarity about what's going on at one point, you know, whether he's going to be coming over or not coming over. But he's going to buy out. If he buys out his contract, he's coming. And at that point, they have to decide what's going to happen. But I'll be honest with you. At this point, if you came back with Leonard and Greiss next year, that's great. If you come back with Leonard and Sorokin next year, that's great. But whatever happens, the Islanders now are actually in a good position in
options.
Goaltending
they
going forward
options.
Because you actually have options. Because even if Sorokin doesn't come this year or next year or doesn't come ever, you have two pieces in place right now, right this minute.
Look. I'm just glad we're on board with the whole Bobrovsky thing. Forget about that guy. Sorry, Sergei. You're going to have to find another team because, as far as I'm concerned, you lock up Leonard for another, what, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever.
At least 3 years.
At a reasonable contract. He's not going to be asking for the 9-10 mil that Bobrovsky is going to be asking
for. He'll have to get Koskinen money.
Sign Leonard for, okay, fine. What he got?
13 and a half million?
Koskinen money. I can't 31, believe we're saying that.
31 games in the NHL, he got 13
dude,
and a half
the
million
oil
dollars.
Has been taking a beating all day today.
Peter Chiarelli should go to the eye doctor.
Not
get his
not
eyes
good.
Checked. Oh, my
not
God.
Not good. But to keep it here on the Isles goalies here, just, yeah, but the guy loves it here from all accounts. I mean, you look at the way he reacted last night. I think the guy would be happy to stick around. He's not going to ask for the moon. He's in a good situation. He's playing with. He knows that he's playing for a great coach, for a great goaltending coach, goaltending system, and he knows that he's playing with a good defensively structured team in front of him.
Yep.
With the horses to play that system.
Right.
So they're only going to continue to make him look good.
Right.
Why leave that situation?
Exactly. And even if you bring Sorokin over, right? You play him in a 1A, 1B exactly
I'm
the same way
there.
That they're playing with Greiss.
I'm getting
sorry,
there, bro.
Go ahead.
It's okay. It's okay. So you lock this guy up. You lock this guy up for, again, 3 to 5 years. You bank the money that would have had to go to Bobrovsky in addition. You put that towards adding to the team somewhere else, wherever that may be. Maybe one of these, you know, top six guys that they either get before the deadline or maybe even over the summer, whatever the case may be.
Right.
It's more money to work with. Cap's going to go up again, most likely. So there you go. You can try to squeeze somebody else in. It makes re-signing a guy like Lee, maybe Nelson, a little bit, you know, easier to swallow as far as, you know, fitting them under the cap. And then you look at this potential situation with Sorokin. Now, because you got Greiss for the extra year, I mean, I'm not going to be too upset if Sorokin's like, you know what, I'm going to finish out my last year of the contract. Go ahead, pal. Enjoy your last year in the KHL. We'll see you next summer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it creates a little bit more of a situation if the guy's like, no, I want to come over now. Then I think you got to make some tough decisions in order to make that happen because of just how touted this guy is, how well he's playing out in the KHL.
Right.
We don't exactly know how that's going to translate here. We're getting some sort of notion of it with Koskinen's doing up in Edmonton. But, look, we know he's a prime prospect. He's young. If you can have a guy like that come overseas, be in your system, you absolutely allow that to happen. And then you have to make a decision. Then I suppose you look at, you know, unloading Greiss, however you have to, because Sorokin's not coming here to play in the bridge. He's coming here to play in the NHL.
Absolutely. It would be, have to be a one-way deal. Because
right.
It would be a one-year ECL contract, so it would have to be a one-year deal because of his age. So he'd have
right.
to be.
And I believe I heard
exempt.
That he would be waiver exempt,
yes.
Which means you could send him down, but he's not going to go down.
No.
So you'd have to make some sort of move. Now, Greiss, I think he's making 3.5.
3.3.
Okay, 3.3. That sounds about
but
right.
But honestly, for the numbers he's putting up, you know, for a, you know, for an, you know, if you wanted a Columbus, for example, okay, if
okay.
they're going to go with, they have a young goaltender that's coming up as well. So if you wanted to go with a 1A, 1B type of situation, that's not a bad situation to be in to bring in a guy like Thomas Greiss, okay?
Yeah.
He's $3.3 million. You're not spending $7 million on Bobrovsky anymore. There are plenty of teams that are looking for that depth. You look at what what San Jose has in Martin Jones and Aaron Dell, right? Like, you need a tandem. There's no more you can just stash, you know, whoever as your backup goalie anymore.
Right.
Philadelphia is looking for goaltending. You know, they're trying to bring Carter Hart along. They've had a cast of misfits playing goalie for them. They would be looking for a guy like that.
Three decades that team hasn't had a goalie.
Since Ronnie Hextall.
Ridiculous.
Since Hextall or Van Beesbrouck or whoever. But
right.
The point is that there is a market for Thomas Greiss at $3.3 million. Okay?
Yeah,
if he's got the
absolutely.
Numbers he's doing, if he's playing, he's not playing backup games here. He's playing, you know, 1B right now to second fiddle to Leonard. And the only reason why he's not in the lineup more is because Leonard has been so dominant when he's played. So, you know, if they had to move Thomas Greiss because Sorokin decides he's going to come over, I think that's doable. I mean, are they going to get a tremendous asset for him? Probably not. But you will get...
Not the concern.
It's not the concern.
Right.
Exactly.
That's not the concern.
You're going to get...
You make
you'll
the
be
room
able to be able to move him
for,
into another
the
situation.
White whale, as our pal Mikey Carver likes to call him.
Right, right.
You make the room. But granted, and yes, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but it's still prudent given the current situation. Yeah, the trade deadline coming.
And this whispers it is now.
He's going to be... Robin Lehner's going to be a free agent July 1 if nothing happens between now and then. I just think it's a no-brainer at this point. There's no even debate. The way he's playing, the way he's embracing the team...
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe Lamoriello was getting starry-eyed with Bobrovsky. The guy's, you know, he's won the Vezina.
Of course. And you know Lou is big,
a proven performer.
Big goaltenders. You know
of
the
course.
Way he is.
But look, Leonard, he came in here. He was given a chance. You got to figure he's going to show some loyalty to the organization. He's not going to ask for the moon, as I said. And he's also around 3 years younger. I mean, you look at these guys, and accolades aside, and, you know, trophies and whatnot. I mean, I feel like you just look at Leonard like, this is a no-brainer. Look at the numbers this guy is putting up. And, you know, the further and further into the season we go, he's consistent, if not getting better.
Right.
It's not topsy-turvy
right.
here.
Right, and you know it's not going to be a long-term deal. And unfortunately, it can't because of his history, you know, with the drugs and whatnot or whatever and what he did and the alcohol and whatnot, you can't really commit to a six-year contract to somebody who's in the first year of their sobriety. It's just – it's not a good business, you know, a way of doing business. So I would expect Lou to come in with a three-year offer saying, okay, you'll be 31 at the end. You'll still
I
be in line
for – I think anywhere between
3
to 5 is fine.
Yeah, it's 5 I might – I'm just saying my 5 might be pushed because you've seen Leonard tweak himself a couple times this year. You don't know how his body's going to react because the first time in his life he's not playing – that he's playing dry, that he's not with alcohol or with the painkillers he was taking or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So you don't know how he's going to react over the course of a full season or whatever. So it's just something that you don't want to lock yourself in on a 5-year term when you need to kind of, you know – I mean, I say you should definitely give him, you know, 3 years. 3 years I would give him in a blink of an eye. But I don't think I would go any farther than that at this point just because you kind of have to see how he is, you know, just physically, how his body's going to respond to this. And it's, you know, it's a big question. You know, I know you don't watch baseball, but, you know, there was a baseball player, Josh Hamilton, who had all kinds of problems with drugs when he was younger.
Mm.
He got himself clean. He became one of the best home run hitters in baseball at one time. But at 32, 33 years old, his body started to break down. He started to have knee problems. He started to have shoulder problems or whatever. And it was because a lot of doctors will tell you it's that these drugs, they do things to your insides, and you don't know exactly how your body's going to respond. You're a professional athlete. You have to do certain things and take care of your body. He abused his body for many years. So, you know, Leonard is still a young guy, but you don't know what kind of damage was done during that their period, and you don't know how his body is going to respond to that. So,
okay,
you know, just a longer term on that might be pushing it just a little bit.
All right, that's an interesting angle, and I suppose that's something that Louis is going to have to keep in the back of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, I trust what these guys are going to do, and I think we're going to see an extension for Robin Lehner. And I think, you know, most of the Islanders fan will be pretty damn happy with that. So let's... If you don't mind, let's focus on Louis for a brief minute. Because
okay.
Barry Trotz has been getting a lot of the praise, and it is well, well deserved. I mean, if nothing else. I hope the guy already has a spot in the mantle picked out for the Jack Adams, because if this keeps up, he's going to have to start dusting it off.
Yep.
I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. I mean, the guy is already laying the groundwork for legend status here on Long Island.
No question.
I mean, the way that the fan base has embraced the guy. And it's only year one. The guy's going to be here for at least another 4 years, which is just a magical thing to say, a magical thing to think. But let's talk about the guy that hired him for a minute, because you know, I think because of just how amazing the team has been playing, because of the system that they're playing, and we're all seeing it on the ice, it's all right in front of our faces. It's very easy to put a lot of the focus that is deserved on Barry Trotz. But you have to give some credit where it's due to the man behind the scenes, and that's Lou Lamoriello.
Agreed.
And he's doing a lot of stuff that we don't know what's going on. We've had it talked about. We've had it hinted about. You see pieces coming out. I believe it was in a Gross piece saying that, you know, Barzal loves him. He loves the guy.
He does.
And you're going to want your star player to be happy with the general manager and your boss,
so.
Right? The guy who's
so.
who's calling the shots. And you hear stories about how he's checking to make sure that the team dinner's made right before the games and this and that. And when we hear little nuggets like that, I think it's very safe to assume that this guy is doing things like that up and down, you know, the franchise, if you will, up and down with whatever's going on with this team, making sure everybody's taken care of, making sure everybody's mind is in the right place,
mm-hmm.
focused, prepared, you know, for every game that's going to come here. So, you know, absolutely sing the praises for Barry Trotz and his coaching staff to the highest. But I think you also got to remember that you got to save some praise for Mr. Lamoriello as well. And for, you know, the professionalism that he's brought to this organization. And a lot of people like to knock the lack of facial hair and the hair rules and all that stuff. And, you know, I get that to a degree. You'd like to think these guys are grown men. They don't need to abide by those rules. But it's part of his shtick. It's part of what, you know, makes his teams professional. He has the track record. And I just feel like he deserves a little shout-out here, you know, as the team, you know, has kind of nestled itself into first place in the Metropolitan Division.
I
think he's been forgotten about a little bit.
No, there's no question, man. And this is his thing, bro. He does all the stuff behind the scenes. He's not a front-and-center guy. You know, that's why he hired Barry. That's why it is. Barry is the guy. He's the face. And Lou is doing all and pulling all these strings from behind. And I agree with you 100%. He has brought in a tremendous staff in the front office. They hired a great coaching staff. And really, you know, as you're talking about it, and you're giving a little prop to Lou and whatnot, but you also got to give props to Mr. Malkin and Mr. Ledecky because they
100%.
Invested all of this money, and they did. They invested a lot of money in
Starts
Lou.
At the top, pal.
They invested a lot of money in Barry. They invested in all of these coaches because these are some of the top assistants and goaltending coaches, and you know the Piro Greco hire is turned out to be a fantastic hire for the Islanders, and Toronto's feeling it because you know Garrett Sparks is not the same goalie he was last year, and a lot of people will tell you that Piro Greco
right.
was a big part of Garrett Sparks becoming an NHL
right.
goaltender.
Right.
So and he's here now. He's working with Leonard and Grice on a daily basis, and you know look at Lou also. He came in and he cleaned house. He got rid of the whole coaching staff. He got rid of the front office, right? And then, but he decided to keep the Bridgeport coaching staff in place with Brent Thompson and everything like that. And you know what? Those guys have done a great job. They're doing exactly what Lou wants, and Bridgeport is playing well. The prospects are responding. The guys are playing well down there.
And when they've come up to the team,
they have been ready to play.
To
so that's exactly the point. I know Brent Thompson took a lot of shit last year, and people say that he's a terrible coach, and he's just a lackey for Lou, up and up for Garth and whatever.
Right.
But I'll tell you, they actually have a system in place, and they have a plan. And Brent Thompson has implemented that plan in Bridgeport, and those guys have responded down there. And you got to give credit throughout the entire organization, but really the owners deserve credit as well because they invested in all of this, and they got you to this point, and they've done a great job.
No doubt about it, Tony. And with that, why don't we take one last little break here, and we'll do the little hero of the week.
Good.
So, folks, in case you forgot, you're listening to Hockey Night in New York with Sean Cuthbert. That would be myself and Tony Stabile himself. Tune in live or for the archives at HockeyNightNY.com. We'll be right back.
If you're interested in exposing your business on an exciting new platform to a great audience of potential new customers or clients, then advertise right here on the Hockey Active Radio Network. Reach thousands of listeners every week on our entire radio, social, and online network. Competitive, affordable sponsorships are available now. Contact sales at HockeyActive.com. That's sales at HockeyActive.com. Introduce your business or services to the coolest fans in the world. In need of solid online solutions for your business or service? Then contact Island Web Media today for all your hosting,
branding, web design, social and multimedia needs. With over 15 years of experience in the industry and on top of all the latest trends and platforms, you will get the answers that you need. Island Web Media is an American company based in Long Island, New York. Go to islandwebmedia.com today. That's islandwebmedia.com. The Hockey Active Radio Network is powered by Hockey Active LLC in Long Island, New York. Hockey Active is always looking for good people to join us as we expand our audience reach and network services. If you have digital, video, social media, and sales skills, go to hockeyactive.com today. Call or send us an email and see how you can get involved with an exciting new company covering the coolest game on earth. Once again, that's hockeyactive.com.
To the program, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Hockey Night in New York, and it is now time for the Hero of the Week. Tony Stabile, do you remember who goes first this time?
No.
You don't? Of course not. Of course not. Well, I don't really either, but I would be surprised if we weren't in agreement with who the guy is. I think
probably.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of already got a really good lead from the league itself today.
Well, yeah, all right. Well, then maybe we're not going to agree.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we're not going to have the same guy. Not that we're not going to agree. I don't think we're
going to
agree.
All right, well, it sounds like you may have a little surprise.
I do.
On your hands.
I do have a little surprise.
I guess with that, then I'll go first.
Go ahead.
And I'm going to say that my hero of the week, as well as the NHL's unofficial hero of the week, the first star, Mr. Robin Lehner. The Wall.
The Wall.
We just sung his praises here before the break. Been playing absolutely outstanding. What a story. It's just been absolutely tremendous. You can't be happier for this guy with the way he's gotten his life together, with the way he's playing on the ice. And hopefully more great things to come in the orange and blue with the Islander franchise. You look at the numbers that he has. It's just unbelievable. He has a 202 goals against average. I mean, that's... it's just unbelievable. So, ladies and gentlemen, Hero of the Week from Shawnee, Mr. Robin Lehner. Take it away, Tony.
Outstanding, outstanding. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna change it up. My Hero of the Week to a guy who really, honestly, one of the hardest working guys on this team. Vocal guy in the locker room, vocal guy on the bench, and has really started to, in some big games recently, has come through in the clutch. Scored the game-winning goal in Washington. Had a goal and an assist in the Tampa Bay game and two goals against Anaheim on Sunday yesterday in the big win. Cal Clutterbuck has been a really, really good player on his team. He's doing excellent things. He's part of that fourth line. As Devin from Yes Man will tell you, the best fourth line of the best fourth line in hockey. They came back. They've done just picked up exactly where they left off. And Clutterbuck really is, you know, he's a hard worker and, you know, four goals now in the last five games. Can't say enough about what he's done, especially in the clutch. So I'll give my Hero of the Week to Cal Clutterbuck.
All right, Tony. I like it. Little Cal Clutterbuck. This is a guy who over the last couple of years, I feel like fans are already kind of starting to write off. The guy's getting paid too much. Got to send him elsewhere. You know,
not the way they played on that line this year.
But you bring Matty Martin back, you put him back with Zekas, you put him back with Cal Clutterbuck, you have him playing the game that Barry Trotz has been playing, and this line is looking great once again.
They are.
And Cal Clutterbuck, maybe he'll never live up to the money, to the dollars that he was given from Gar Snow, but he's doing a lot better as far as that goes these days.
Yeah.
And you can't argue with the game that he's been playing. That line has been tremendous, and, you know, it's not just the Jack Capuano thing anymore. Barry Trotz loves this line, and
he
trusts him to start the game. He trusts him in a lot of situations.
He does.
So, I mean, kudos to him, to Cal Clutterbuck. Kudos to the line. I mean, they've just been great. And, you know, absent of Cal, I believe, and Cizikas, you know, getting dinged up a little bit here and there, the line's been pretty much healthy. That's kind of been also an issue for this line as well.
Yep.
In the
past. It's the style of play that they have.
Of course.
You're going to see injuries on.
But they're banging
really
bodies. They're a threat out there. They're not just, you know, they're not just out there to shut the other line down. I mean, granted, that is their first and foremost job. But they're also a threat on the ice, which has been tremendous. And I just have to correct you, Tony, because I like being able to take this opportunity when it presents itself.
Please do.
He did not score the game-winning goal against the Capitals the other night. That was Josh Bailey's goal. Cal put up the 2-0 goal.
He put up the insurance goal. You're right.
Yeah, because, you know, I never make mistakes
on the
show.
It's the backbreaker goal. So
there you go.
Yeah,
All right, fair enough. We'll give you that. But, yeah, good choice. And hopefully he's a guy who enters this Hero of the Week conversation going forward, because as we know, you know, like Matty Martin, his name's not always going to show up, but you're right, he had a great week. The amount of goals he put up, they were showing on, I think Brian Compton on social media was saying that he's outscored the last three opponents that the Islanders have had.
He has.
Which is pretty damn impressive.
It is. And the guy he was traded for just got traded again.
That's right.
Nino.
El Nino.
He is
back in the Metro.
Back in the Metro.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? He's playing for Carolina. They're out. You know what? The Islanders don't have to worry about him. Because they're in first place.
Because
they're in first place, Tony.
Oh, my God. That's just surreal.
Come on, man. Eat it up.
I am. Look, bro.
Enjoy it.
I'm loving it.
How can you not?
I just got to say, I don't know about you, but I wore my blue and orange Army scarf the other day.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, I was representing. It was so beautiful to walk through Penn Station with my Mitchell and Ness Islander hat and my blue and orange Army scarf. Thanks to Tom Lafaso for giving those to us on the pajama night party.
That's right.
I wore mine proudly the other day.
I'm sure you
will continue to do it. I wore it the other day, and I will continue to wear it because it is a beautiful time to be an Islander fan.
It really is a long time for this. Soak it in, folks. Soak it in.
It's just great.
And I really think this thing is going to continue here. And I really think that the sky's the limit. I'm not saying they're ready to beat Tampa in a 7-game series if they even come to a position to play them in the playoffs.
Right.
But the team is playing incredible.
They are.
And you just got to trust.
They can play with anyone. They've played. And either played the entire game or beaten just about every top team in the league.
It is not unreasonable to go into every game this season
expecting
to win.
That's right.
Now, you're going to have your tougher teams, without question. Some games are going to be easier to win than others. Some games are going to be harder.
Right.
But it is not unreasonable to look at that schedule and say, winnable, winnable, winnable.
No question.
Every game on that schedule.
No question.
Regardless of opponent. They can do it. We've seen the way that they stepped up against these top teams. We already discussed it earlier in the show. They keep playing the way they're playing. They're going to give themselves a great chance to win. They may not win them all, but they're going to be close.
They're in position.
Yes.
And with an upgrade in talent at the deadline, you're talking about another, you know, you're in another world at that point.
So with that in mind, folks, it's time to start thinking about getting that little 6-game package that gets you playoff rights.
Yeah, you might.
Come April.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, again, I said it before, I don't think anybody's got to worry about getting into the playoffs anymore.
Wow.
It's all about where they fall.
They did.
They would have to have.
There was a graph the other day, and it said that the Islanders' chance of making the playoffs right now stood at like almost 94%.
It depends on which one you look at. There's like six of them, and I wish I could give credit where it's due. I've seen a guy getting retweeted that this guy, he doesn't average every day of all of them.
Yeah, it's the pie graph, right? It was the pie graph?
Well, I think that's just one of them. But he does an average of all the different sites that do the playoff odds.
Uh-huh.
And he says, you know, from after this win, they've gone up from this number to this number, which is now somewhere over 90%, like you said.
Yeah, I think it was like 93.75.
And I also saw out there that if they just go 500 for the rest of the year, they would finish with 96 points, which would pretty much probably squeak them in at least in that second wild card spot.
It would be right there.
Think they're just going to go 500.
They haven't been a 500 team the whole season. They've been 5 games above 500 pretty much the entire season.
And now they're well above that.
Now they're 14 games over 500, which
right.
is unbelievable if you think about it.
It is. And how nice it would be to go into this little break 15 games over 500.
Well, Chicago seems to have these spurts of offense like they did the other day.
Well, they definitely did us a favor against the Caps yesterday.
8-5. 8-5. Jonathan Toews had 5 points in that game. 3 goals and 2 assists in that game. Alex DeBrincat had a goal and assist. I mean, they can score. Their defense is terrible. That's their problem. And their goaltending is a mess because they lost Crawford again. So it's a shame. I hope Jeremy Colleton, will get an opportunity to do his thing over there. He had some nice things to say when he was. He had some nice things to say when he came into the Coliseum last week.
Sure.
And I didn't realize this, but he was Casey Cizikas' first roommate when Cizikas got to Bridgeport.
Right.
So that's that was pretty cool to hear about. But obviously it's a great time right now. It's just to see this team playing the way they're playing, to see how these guys are all bought in. I mean, yes, they've been, pretty healthy so far for the season. You want to obviously see that continue. That may not. Who knows? I think reinforcements are on the way at some point or another. I know Lou is definitely going to be.
I would be surprised if no moves were made.
I'd be very surprised.
Now, granted, we may not be, blown away with the moves. Maybe he just makes a supplemental ad here or there, whatever the case may be.
Not really Lou's style.
This is uncharted territory.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. We've always been. First, you had Milbury, who you never knew what he was going to do next.
Right.
And then you had Snow, who you knew that it was just nothing was coming. So
right.
We've gone through the last freaking 5 deadlines where nothing has come in, only stuff has gone out. So you never really expected anything. So at this point, you have Lou. You know that he's got that that background of being very aggressive, just like Larry Brooks said in that article today, yesterday that. Dave Pagnotta said, that the Islanders are already actively working the phones. And Lou likes to strike early. He's not a 8th, 9th, 20th hour guy,
Truth is, Tony, we don't need Larry Brooks and Pagnotta to tell us that.
No,
I mean, of course he's working the phones, sitting first place in the Metro.
Yeah.
With the deadline coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, of course he's working the phones.
But this is his time to strike. Like, when he got Kovalchuk, he got him, February 4th. When he makes these deals, he makes them in advance. It's usually before the deadline.
Okay.
So, let's see. Let's see what happens. But there's players available, and he's got plenty of chips to trade. So, it's going to be really – I'm giddy about this, bro.
Is all fun stuff.
It is, because we expected the worst.
I mean, Islander Land is Happyville right now.
Expected the worst.
Right, right.
On July 2nd. Everything was going to shit, and now all of a sudden, and really seriously, and I'm not even saying that for
no,
a fact.
Without
I mean,
question,
all
the doom and gloom.
Bro,
and
we were texting on July 1st and July 2nd, and we were just like, "This is not going to be good." This is just it's not going to be good.
Right.
You gave credit to Lou before, but he took a ton of crap from everybody for. Filippula and Komarov and Kuhnhackl and reacquiring Martin and what the hell is he doing and maybe he lost his mind and boy, you really can't argue with any of those moves right now, can you?
Really can't.
Nope.
I mean, maybe you find a little nitpick thing. I still see people giving out about Komarov. I find it a little comical.
Let me tell you something. Anybody that you talk to, and we've talked to plenty of guys that are in that room on a daily basis, they all tell you the same thing.
Right.
Leo is the center point of that room. And honestly, if they were up against the cap and they couldn't make a deal, if they couldn't make a deal because of Leo Komarov, you'd be like, all right, that's terrible. In a situation in Toronto where they have no cap space and they need defense, that would be a perfect situation to bring up.
Real shame what's going
on.
Yeah,
it really is. I feel terrible for them. Yeah. Anyway, but getting back, you look at Leo, they're so far under the cap, his number means absolutely nothing at this point.
Right.
And by the time these other contracts are going to start to kick in,
had a nice little deflection goal yesterday.
And he is a mentor to the younger players.
Right.
Everybody loves to be around him. Lou said in an interview yesterday.
The guy is limited. There's no doubt. But when the train is rolling the way it is right now, who
cares.
Nobody. Nobody cares.
And if he is
Leave
helping
alone.
Out on the intangibles and behind the scenes, then bless his heart.
He is.
Keep doing it, pal.
He is.
If that's if that is somehow contributing to the mindset of this team,
it
the
is.
Way that they're playing,
There's no
the way
question
playing,
it is.
Then that's great. I love it. It's fine.
The
it's
leadership
fine.
Void was gone.
No.
You remember, your captain was gone. Your leadership void was gone. You needed to instill players like
that. That section of the fandom that just has that need to complain about
something
no matter what's going on. It's time to just chill out.
You have to, because if you're not going to chill out now, you're never going to chill out.
Right.
That's seriously. This team cannot be playing any better than
the ride.
Right now. Just let it be.
It's gonna stay fun.
You have the opportunity
and it's
to be
gonna get better.
15 games over 500 heading into the All-Star break.
Right.
Let's
talk about that briefly before we wrap this up. That you have this game, take care of business, go into the sunset here riding high with this 9-game break. Now,
right.
I know there's a lot of people out there, and I'm kind of on the fence with the effect that this break is going to have on the team because of the wave that they're riding right now with how well that they're playing. You know, is this going to ruin the momentum? Are they going to get, 9 days is a long time.
It is. But
it's
contrary,
a long time to be away from the
that,
ice.
They only have one guy going to the All-Star game, so you got the rest of the team that's able to kind of relax, get healthy. You know, you get over those bumps and bruises that you have. It's a positive thing.
Well, no matter what.
And every team is going into the All-Star break, not just the Islanders. So
no matter what, we've actually kind of had similar conversations about these things in the past, is that no matter what does happen when they get out of the break's going to be the reason why they're either winning or losing.
Right.
Oh, you know, they had too much time off. That's why they're slumping. Oh, the break really did them well. They were able to,
kept the train rolling.
They were able to heal and get, whatever, kind of refresh and all that. You know, the break really served them well. It can go either way.
Right.
It can go either way.
Agreed.
The bottom line is, when you come back, whatever the date is in that first game, you just come back ready to play. And
yeah.
I trust Barry and the staff to have these guys ready to play.
No question.
So, yeah, it kind of sucks that we're in happy land right now watching all these wins and are on this 5-game winning streak and we want it to keep going. It sucks that it's going to be 9 days without it. I know some of us are going to be a little loopy.
That's
over
the
course of that time.
You're going to be lost because you're none to watch. No wins.
I fully expect them to come back and pick up where they left off. And there's going to be more things to smile about. There's going to be more happy conversations about this team and what they might not do at the deadline. And we can start talking about potential playoff mashups. It's all going to come in real quick because that's the thing.
Yep.
After the All-Star break, that's when it gets serious.
That's exactly right.
Real push.
You're gonna get it. You're
in the playoffs.
We're talking about a trade deadline right now, but when
you
get back from the All-Star break, that's when it really starts to heat up. You're gonna start to see players' names starting floating around.
Well, I'm not even just saying the deadline and all that. I'm just saying the product. I'm talking about the hockey.
That's when everybody
buckles down and gets
serious.
But
you see, the teams that are buying are the teams that are convinced that they're a piece or two away from really doing some damage.
Yeah.
And the fact that again that we're having this conversation is we never. In September, we thought that, Nelson and Eberle would be dealt at this month. And, you'd be inserting,
whether you sign him or not.
And
Cole
was going to be playing and just playing out of the last year of his ECL in Bridgeport. And, all of these things have happened and it's all been positive. I don't know what to do myself because I don't remember the last time that everything was so positive like this.
Hey, we were due, man. Islander fans deserve this.
Bill Torrey.
It's been a long damn time.
Bill Torrey and Al Arbor, at this point, I'm hoping, are sitting in a chair together and
up
just smiling and saying, this is exactly what we would hope for. I'm really hoping. And hopefully Charles Wong is sitting there too with them. And they're looking down and they're saying that this is exactly what they wanted all along.
Sure, that sounds great. That sounds really nice. But look, just again, the fan base deserves this, and let's get greedy.
I'm sorry. I'll get greedy. I deserve this. Okay, I've been putting through shit for so many years. I deserve this. I do.
Oh,
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
You sure do, Tony. Just like the rest of it. Now, look, the pain and suffering has been going on for too long. There's finally hope. Top to bottom, ownership, management, coaching. Product on the ice, the farm, the arena coming down the pike. That is happening. Don't let anybody give you any doubts. There's going to be shovels in the ground in the very near future. That is happening.
Very near future.
So it's all good stuff. There's going to be bumps along the way, but it is a really, really, really good time to be an Islander fan. Soak it in and enjoy all of it.
Every minute.
April's coming, baby.
Yes,
and I can't wait. I can't wait to start talking about playoff matchups. It's going
to
be great.
I can't wait to go to a playoff game.
And that's going to be nice.
I can't wait.
That's
really,
going to be nice. And I guess sooner or later, they're going to have to tell us where they're going to play these games. Because they're going to have to start setting aside some dates.
Lou said that it's a fluid conversation right now. So.
Okay. So that means it's possible to go either way.
It is. The only
problem I would say is surprising to me because, as I have said previously, I was pretty convinced it's going to be Barclays, no questions asked.
With the suites. They're
right.
Gonna
they're going to make money because we're all going to show up because we're all hurting for
stupid.
Some playoffs.
Yeah, we're
that's
stupid.
Right. Well, no, we want to see our team succeed in the playoffs, especially a Barry Trotz-led team. They're all going to show up. They know it. So if they want more dollars, it's going to be at Barclays. If they want to serve the team and serve the fans, they'll do it at the Coliseum. I would be very impressed if they play at the Coliseum.
I would be happy if they played.
Hats off to them if they actually do, because they will lose money if they have it at the Coliseum.
Yeah. Well, no.
They won't make as much money.
Well,
so let me rephrase.
The Islanders aren't going to lose.
They probably won't make as much money at the Coliseum.
The Islanders won't lose money.
We don't need to argue about that.
No, they won't. No, okay. The Islanders won't lose money. Brooklyn will lose money.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Because they're still in, in this crazy
whatever league. Situation that they have.
But the point is being, yes, I agree with you. I you know, there's been some talk that it would be one round at one and then one round at another, and I don't know how that would work, but, I mean, it would be great if they could possibly do, games at the Coliseum, maybe early on, maybe the first round, and as they go on to the later rounds, the pricing structure goes up as the rounds go up. So I would love to see them play some playoff games, but I also understand the need to make money. So, I mean, if they could somehow do one round at one and one at the other, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Okay. All right. Well, we didn't really have time to recap the games. I don't think we need to. I mean, everybody's right for tomorrow.
I'll recap them for you. They won.
That's right. They won.
All of them.
They won all the games.
They won all the games.
They did.
And they didn't give up a goal in the last two. So, really, there's not much to talk about.
All right. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up here. So, folks, one more time, little apology for what happened last night. We really appreciate you guys coming back and sticking with us with this game tonight. With this show tonight. Again, big thanks to Christian Arnold for hanging out with us again tonight. Didn't work out so well last night, but really appreciate it. Make sure you go check him out on Twitter. Follow his stuff. He's doing a great job at Isles Insight. And follow us at Hockey Night NY. Follow Tony at Tony Stabile. Follow myself at Shawnee Hockey, all on Twitter. Don't forget, you can catch us live or for the archives at HockeyNightNY.com. We're on iTunes. We're on Google. We're on Stitcher. We're on SoundCloud. So we're everywhere. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Let's go on this. We'll see you next time. Take care. Look around to the town. Not a soul to be found. In silence, not a sound. There's no one around but you. In the back of the car.